T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ian Begley covers the NBA for SNY. Ian, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
What's happening, fellas? How are you?
I don't know. If I was working in New York still, Ian, I'd be screaming about this idiot Jason Vargas. Are people screaming about that numbnut?
Yes. Many people are upset about Vargas and everything that happened last year. Yes.
The league should do something. I think the guy should be suspended, frankly.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't paid close attention to it, but apparently, I guess he was fined as much as you can fine him without the Players Association getting involved and filing a grievance. But, not a good look for him at all. And I wonder if there are any further repercussions there. But I know you have Jason with you, and I know he's a veteran reporter, and we've all kind of been in those tense moments in the locker room. I've never been threatened to that the player said he was going to knock me out, as Vargas did. But
I think Dan Gilbert threatened to knock Jason Lloyd out, probably.
He's wanted to. I've never been threatened either. I've never been threatened either. I'm sure players have wanted to do that, but they haven't expressed that to me.
There was when I was younger, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was asked by a boss to ask a personal question of a player, and that player was upset. Some of the teammates were upset, and I was an intern, so I didn't know what the heck was going on. But the team and the player, they'll go unnamed, but they were not happy. One of them was ready to come after me, but it never got as serious as it did with Vargas and the Newsday reporter.
We're talking with Ian Begley. Ian, let's get to some NBA. I know you reported, I believe it was today, that everybody seems to think Kevin Durant, a lot of the reporting has been that Kevin Durant is the Nets are the favorite to get him. You're saying that's not the case, what you're hearing?
No, not the case based on what I've heard, which I believe to be accurate. There was a couple, reports, TV, radio, suggesting and saying that, Durant was going to go to the Nets with Kyrie Irving, or they were the leader for Durant with Kyrie Irving. I'm told that that's not the case. They're not the leader. They're not the front runner in any sense for Durant. I can't tell you guys. Durant's not returning my calls. I don't know if he's returning Jason's calls, but I can't tell you guys who the leader
every
is.
Day.
I just know that the Nets are not the leader at the moment, and, find out more once we get to Sunday night.
Are the Nets the leader for Kyrie, and do they know he's crazy?
So teams that are going after Kyrie have been under the impression for a while now that the Nets are the odds-on favorite to land Kyrie, and I still believe that to be the case. With regards to how the Nets view Kyrie and everything that happened in Boston and Cleveland, I don't know. Clearly, there has to be a significant comfort level there, though, because what the Nets have done over the last couple of years is in a really efficient way. They have established a culture. They have some good young pieces. So you would think that bringing Kyrie in there, it's a risk, obviously, because you have the potential to disrupt everything. They're pretty thorough over there. I'm guessing they've done their homework, and however it ends up shaping out, it's going to have big ramifications for that organization over the next few seasons.
We're talking with Ian Begley of SNY. Ian, as someone who grew up in New York, as a kid, even though I wasn't a Knicks fan, the Knicks were the franchise, and anybody that grew up in New York knows this. Nobody cared about the Nets. They were irrelevant. I worked for 4 years on the Fan in New York. I don't know if I mentioned the Nets once in that time. Nobody cares. Has that changed? Now, that shouldn't matter in terms of where players want to go, because the Nets are clearly a much better-run franchise. The Knicks are a disaster. But has that changed at all in New York because they're in Brooklyn now?
Not in a significant way yet. This is still a Nick town, and I think what it would take to really change it is that next generation of fans to come up, because the Knicks are so ingrained in the culture here from a generational standpoint. It gets passed down from your father, your grandfather, your mother, your grandmother, whatever. And I think it would take a sustained run of Nets success and then a younger group of fans kind of attaching themselves to that. And then you'll see it, you know, years down the line where the Nets really make inroads. But certainly nothing significant of yet. And I don't think that would even change in the immediate future if they were to land two max stars and the Knicks landed nobody.
Okay, so is that going to happen? Are the Knicks going to strike out yet again? I mean, this is going to look horrific if they trade Porzingis and clear all this cap space and come away with nothing this summer.
So they're still in on Durant, I think. I think they still think they have a shot there. I don't think Kyrie is as likely as we discussed earlier. And I don't, you know, Kawhi, they think they have a shot with him. I don't think it's a good shot. So I think it's Durant or bust, essentially. And listen, with regards to the Porzingis trade, I agree with you. It would look horrific if they ended up coming up empty this summer. The way I see it, though, in evaluating this thing, it's what the Knicks eventually do with the cap space that they got from the Porzingis trade. Do they turn it into talent this summer or next summer? And what do those players look like? And then on the other side, Porzingis, how does he come back with Dallas? Does he help Dallas, you know, turn into an elite team in the West? I have full confidence that he'll be back to an all-star level. So, yeah, it was a big risk. And, you know, but I don't think we can really judge it fully based on what happens just this summer with the Knicks.
So what is the Knicks sales pitch? What could they possibly sell any free agent on? Dysfunction, well, and a horrific owner?
The city, that's about it.
I mean, is that it? Are you selling it on the city?
They will say that, you know, look at our group now. Don't judge us based on the recent past.
How about the last 40 years?
That recent past, yeah. So that's what they'll say. It's a new group. It's Scott Perry, it's David Fizdale. And I think also what would make them attractive to top free agents is the idea that you can come here and essentially shape the roster how you see fit because of all the money they have this summer. So I think with Kevin Durant, you say, Kevin, who do you want to play with? Excuse me, we'll go out and get that guy because we have the resources to do so. So I think those are some of the pitches that the Knicks will throw out to these free agents.
We're talking with Ian Begley. Ian, there was, I think, a report from Mark Stein recently. He said that maybe that if it didn't work out, they'd go the DeMarcus Cousins route. I'm curious your thoughts on that. And how is he viewed in NBA circles? Is he still a guy who's an all-star caliber player?
Well, so Mark's report is accurate. I think he would be under consideration for the Knicks. But I was told that at least some people in the organization would prioritize some younger guys, guys like Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Terry Rozier, ahead of DeMarcus Cousins if they were to strike out on their top targets. And so I think Cousins is a part of the plan, but I think it's a contingency plan if they don't get those younger guys that they are eyeing. With regard to how he's viewed around the league, listen, I think people still see him as a talented player. Clearly, the injury gives people pause, and how he came back this season gives people pause. But I think if you're the Knicks, obviously you're going to have to spend the money if you strike out. And I don't think he's a good basketball fit because they have a young center in Mitchell Robinson who would be forced to defend power forwards on the other end if he's playing with DeMarcus Cousins. So I don't see him as a long-term fit. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. But I still think that league executives see him as a talented player. Just so many questions surrounding that talent, and it's hard to evaluate him given those question marks.
You know, we might be able to make Kevin Love available, Ian. What do you think?
I don't think the Knicks will be in the market for Kevin Love. They are not. Unless they get KD, they're not in win-now mode. And even if they get KD, they won't be in win-now mode until next year. I do not think the Knicks will be in the market for Mr. Love.
So what's the best-case scenario for both of these teams?
Well, it's funny because they're competing against each other
in
free agency. So, you know, you can't talk about one best-case scenario kind of without ruling out the other best-case scenario. I think, obviously, this is true for every team with two max slots. The best-case scenario is Kawhi and Kevin Durant. That's not going to happen. So the realistic best-case scenario, in my mind, is you get Kevin Durant, you sign him to a max deal for the Knicks, and then you get young players with the rest of your cap space on short-term contracts so you have that flexibility going into next summer, and you try to land a big fish to put beside Kevin Durant. From a net perspective, I think it's similar. It's getting Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant together although it's different there because of the talent that they already have and the chemistry that they've established. I wonder if maybe best case scenario for the Nets is you just bring in somebody like a Tobias Harris who can slide into what you've already established pretty seamlessly, and you keep building from there.
So they obviously view Kyrie Irving as a significant upgrade over D'Angelo Russell, which certainly he's a better player. But you mentioned earlier some of the off the court stuff that he brings into a franchise. I'm not sure it's worth it.
And it's a challenge. And you know, they have pretty sound infrastructure in place there, and they've built a strong culture, and it will be a challenge for that based on past reputations for Kyrie. I'm not here predicting the future.
Sure, but, sure.
With regards to D'Angelo Russell, I think the idea with Brooklyn is Kyrie's coming and he's attracting a second star.
Yeah.
Whether it's Durant or Tobias Harris, I don't know how they feel about Jimmy Butler. I'm not clear on that. But the idea is to get him in the building with somebody else, and that would mean that you would have to renounce D'Angelo Russell. But I also think even if it's just Kyrie, I see it as pretty unlikely that Russell remains there. I think he would go elsewhere. Even if it was just Kyrie Irving.
We're talking with Ian Begley of SNY. Ian, whatever happens with the Warriors this offseason, even if they sign Durant and Clay, who are both hurt, and obviously Durant's going to miss all season and Clay will miss most, if not all, the season, are the Warriors still, with Curry and Draymond, a definite playoff team in the West?
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, I want to say yes, just because of the past success that even taking those two guys out, that the larger group has had. I want to say they'd make the playoffs. That's a tough one, though. I'm sure those owners are banking on some playoff games to make some of that playoff revenue in the new building. But I think, you know, it's hard to answer that question before we see how the rest of the West ends up, who ends up with the Lakers, what do the Clippers do. So I think that's probably an easier question to answer in mid-July than it is right now. But I think no matter how it shakes out, it's going to be a challenge for that Warriors team.
Well, it's going to be a fun few days. It happens, starts quickly. Although this whole thing, I got big beefs with the NBA here. First of all, I hate the fact that the draft is before free agency. I hate the fact that you can't announce trades before the draft and guys got to wear the wrong hats. And this tampering period is the stupidest thing. It's like 5 days. What is the point of that? Why do they do that?
They do it so they can, I think, determine and reset the salary structure for the NBA. I think it's an accounting period in part. So I think that's part of the rationale there. I know they shortened it, but I do think there is some rhyme and reason to that moratorium. And Jason could probably answer that better than I just did. But I think the accounting is one factor there why they take that break.
Yep. You got it.
Yeah. Ian, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, fellas. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.